As history teaches, if the people have little or no knowledge of the basics of government and their rights, those who have the governmental power will wield it excessively. After all, citizens can only hold their government accountable if they know when the government oversteps its bounds. The American governmental scheme is sliding ever and closer toward a totalitarian police state because Americans, believe it or not, are easily distracted. And because, as study after study shows, Americans are clueless about their rights. And because their elected officials no longer represent them. And because Americans have been brainwashed in believing that their only duty as a citizen is to vote. And also because Americans have failed to hold their governmental officials accountable to abiding by the basic law of the land, and that's the Constitution. And because young people are no longer being taught the fundamentals of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. And this has resulted in citizens who don't even know that they have rights to begin with. And because Americans continue to place their trust in politics to fix what's wrong with this country. This steady slide towards tyranny, meted out by militarized local and federal police and legalistic bureaucrats, has been carried forward by each successive president over the past 50 years, regardless of their political affiliation, whether Democrat or Republican. What this means is that big government has grown bigger and the rights of the citizens have grown much smaller. However, there are certain principles that every American should know, which undergird the American system of government and form the basis for the freedoms our forefathers fought and died for. The following seven principles are a good starting point for understanding what free government is really all about. First, the idea that power corrupts is an absolute truth. Realizing this, those who drafted the Constitution and our Bill of Rights held one principle sacrosanct: a distrust of all who hold governmental power. As James Madison, author of our Bill of Rights, proclaimed, and I'm quoting, "All men having power ought to be distrusted to a certain degree." Moreover, in questions of power, Thomas Jefferson warned, and I'm quoting, "Let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." As such, those who drafted our founding documents would see today's government as an out-of-control, unmanageable beast. The second principle is that governments primarily exist to secure rights, an idea that is central to constitutionalism. In appointing the government as the guardian of the people's rights, the people give it only certain, enumerated, and specific powers, which are laid out in a written constitution. The idea of a written constitution places in force two great themes of the Declaration of Independence: consent of the governed and protection of equal rights. Thus, the purpose of constitutionalism is to limit governmental power and ensure that the government performs its basic function, and that function is to preserve and protect our rights, especially our unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as well as our civil liberties. Unfortunately, the government today has discarded this principle and now sees itself as our master, not as our servant. The obvious next step, unless we act soon, is tyranny. The third principle revolves around the belief that no one is above the law, not even those who make the law. This is called the rule of law. Richard Nixon's statement, and I'm quoting, "When the president does it, that means it's not illegal," would have greatly offended the framers of the Constitution. If all people possess equal rights, the people who live under the laws must be allowed to participate in making those laws. Obviously, it should be so. By the same token, those who make the laws must live under the laws they make. However, today, government officials at all levels often act as if they were royalty with salaries and perks that none of us, ordinary citizens, are afforded. This is egregious and should offend us. This should affront American citizens. It should make them mad. Fourth, the separation of powers ensures that no single authority is entrusted with all the powers of government. People are not perfect. We all should know that, whether they are in government or out of it. As history makes very, very clear, those in power tend to abuse it. The government is thus divided into three co-equal branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. Placing all three powers in the same branch of government was considered the very definition of tyranny by those who drafted the Constitution of the United States. The fact that the president today has assumed dictatorial powers would have been considered a curse by the framers. Fifth, a system of checks and balances, essential if a constitutional government is to succeed, was put into place to prevent any one branch of government from becoming a dominant force in the American government. Such checks and balances include dividing Congress into two houses with different constituencies, term limits, sizes, and functions, granting the president a limited veto power over congressional legislation, and appointing an independent judiciary capable of reviewing ordinary legislation in light of our written Constitution, which this is referred to as judicial review. The framers feared that Congress could abuse its powers and potentially emerge as the tyrannous branch of government because it had the power to tax. However, the framers did not anticipate the emergence of presidential powers as they have come to dominate modern government, or, believe it or not, the pervasive influence of corporate powers on governmental decisions. Indeed, as recent academics now conclude and indicate, we are now ruled by a moneyed oligarchy that serves itself and not we the people. Six, representation allows the people to have a voice in government by sending elected representatives to do their bidding while avoiding the need of each and every citizen to vote on every issue considered by government. In a country as large as the United States, it is not feasible to have direct participation in governmental affairs. Hence, we have a representative government. If the people don't agree with how their representatives are conducting themselves, and we should be disagreeing, they can and should vote them out. However, as the citizens have grown lazy and been distracted by entertainment spectacles of modern society, government bureaucrats churn out numerous laws each year, resulting in average citizens being rendered lawbreakers and jailed for what used to be considered normal behavior. Finally, federalism is yet another constitutional device to limit the power of government by dividing power and thus preventing tyranny. In America, the levels of government generally break down into federal, state, and local branches, which further divide into counties and towns or cities. Because local and particular interests differ from place to place, such interests are better handled and served at a more intimate level by local government officials, not a bureaucratic national government that's overriding. Remarking on the benefits of the American tradition of local self-government, in the 1830s, the French historian Alexis de Tocqueville observed, and I'm quoting, "Local institutions are to liberty what primary schools are to science. They put it within the people's reach. They teach people to appreciate its peaceful enjoyment and accustom them to make use of it. Without local institutions, a nation may give itself a free government, but it has not got the spirit of liberty." Unfortunately, we are now governed by a top-heavy government emanating from Washington, D.C., that has absolutely no respect for local institutions or traditions. These seven vital principles have been largely forgotten in recent years, obscured by the haze of a centralized government, a citizenry that no longer thinks analytically, and as I said, schools that don't adequately teach our young people about their history and their rights. Yet here's the rub. While Americans wander about in their brainwashed states, their government of the people, by the people, and for the people has largely been taken away from them. What's the answer? Get unbrainwashed. Learn your rights. Stand up for the founding principles. Make your voice and your vote count for more than just political posturing. Never cease to aggressively protest the erosion of your freedoms at the local and national level. Most of all, do these things today, not tomorrow. If we wait until the votes have all been counted or hang our hopes on a particular candidate to win and fix what's wrong with the country, we the people, believe it or not, will continue to lose, and the tyranny of the police state will continue to grow. Whether we realize it or not, the enemy is not across party lines, as they would have us believe. It has us surrounded on all sides. Even so, we're not yet defeated. We could still overcome our oppressors. If we cared enough to join forces and launch a militant, nonviolent revolution, a people's revolution that starts locally and trickles upward, but that will take some doing. It will mean turning our backs on the political jousting contest taking place at all levels of government and rejecting their appointed jesters as false prophets. It will also mean not allowing ourselves to be corralled like cattle and branded with political labels that have no meaning, absolutely no meaning anymore. It will mean recognizing that all the evils that surround us today, the endless wars, invasive surveillance, militarized police, poverty, asset forfeiture schemes, overcriminalization, and so on, are not of our own making, but came about as a way to control us and profit from us. It will mean voting with our feet through sustained mass civil disobedience. In other words, get organized in your local communities and tell the government that enough is enough and that you aren't going to take it anymore. Ultimately, as I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, the War on the American People, it will mean refusing to be divided, one against another, by politics, and instead uniting behind the only distinction that has ever mattered, we the people against tyranny.